It's up to you. I just wanted to ask if you wanted to share something from the camp. You know, you do? Okay. This morning, and even when I was at the hospital last night, I was thinking about all the things that were said at camp, and so many things rushed to my head, like, you know, like a reminder of what went. And, you know, if you have an ADD mind like mine, it doesn't stick, you know, like when I'm going to speak. It's just a lot of things coming into my mind and how, what impacted me the most. And I think mostly everything impacted me. But one of the things that I got from it was when Pastor Ryan said, you know, why aren't we worshiping at church? Why don't we worship? You know, and what is it that, you know, we can go to a secular place and really go out and worship and sing our favorite songs and put up our hands and everything. And, you know, he mentioned that if you look out into the crowd and you say, oh, you know, I could pray for this person, or I could pray for this person, or, you know, I think that my God's telling me to pray for this person. And that's a form of worship right there. And I think that if we practice that more and more in this youth, I think that if we just think about the things that maybe that person might be going through, or look at them and use discernment on their life, you know, why aren't they so happy? Why aren't they, you know, why are they negative? Why are they, why is this person always down on themselves? And just, you know, kind of just manifest that into your hearts when you're thinking about that person. And I think that would give you a heart of worship in itself. I just love when you guys worship here, especially coming down from camp. All the worship and everything was just awesome, you know. And I think that we should only have that there, but we should bring that here to the mountain. And I don't know how your worship is in your youth group, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty awesome, you know. But so I want you to stand up and face the person next to you. If there's not enough people in that group, but I want you guys to pray for one another right now and about a form of worship and how we can bring that to this mountain. And, you know, our name is Riot, which is revival in our town. So I think when we go to something like we did in Big Bear, I think that we should retain that, try to retain that in our hearts, and try to ask God to bring that that wisdom and that knowledge and the form of worship here, not only there, because if you do it here and you go to camp next year, it's just going to be that much more awesome. And so I want you guys to pray individually for you guys. It's like two on two. And then you could pray like two people. And then if there's one lacking, then you can turn around and pray for them too, or they can pray for you, okay? So, you could do it too. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord, and Father, we pray for everybody coming that came down the mountain, Lord, and I know I got several texts from people that had flat tires on the way back home and car problems, and as well as we did, Lord, and Father, we just see the wickedness of the devil, how he just wants to destroy the goodness that you give us, Lord, the peace and tranquility that you want us to have, Lord. But there's always something, Lord, in this world that will keep us struggling and going through hoops and stuff like that, Lord. And Father, I know that you allow it and to test our faith sometimes, Lord. But so, Father, we just want to strengthen ourselves, Lord, strengthen our faith. That way, when we see the enemy coming, Lord, we can dodge it, and we can pray for each and every individual that will be stronger, and our strength will be strengthened by the prayers and by the corporate prayers of one another, Lord. And so, Father, we just ask that you lead us this morning in a time of sharing, in a time of uplifting, time of edification, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, another thing that I noticed that is really prevalent now, and I'm not sure if people are just getting more honest, but the struggles that some of the pastors had were porn. And you know, the internet has taken us by storm. It's just crazy how it's captivated the minds of many, many people, and young people especially, because you guys are so much more savvy. And I was reading an article yesterday on the bus, and how a lot of times you have codes in your texting and emojis that mean certain things, and how dangerous that is, because parents don't even know that language. We're unaware, and it's almost like we always have to, like, if you have a water leak, you always have, you know, you plug it up here, and then the water leak starts here, and, you know, because water is very destructive, and water is powerful, and it goes wherever it wants to go. Especially if it's a weak pipe, it's going to tear another leak, and I know Brent knows that. You know, he deals with that kind of plumbing all the time, and people getting different tools and making different tools to stop the water, because it's very powerful, and it goes where it wants to go. And that's the same thing with you know, evil, and if we allow it to snap a lot, you know, our faith in different places, it's because we're weak. And so, you know, in allowing porn and things like that into our lives, what you're doing is you're just weakening your plumbing, your spiritual plumbing, to be disrupted, to be erupted by the evil. And so, It's really hard to hear that porn is a big thing in people's lives, you know. And if you do have any kind of computers, I think that you should ask your parents to block everything that you have in that would come up, pop up within the realm of porn or something bad. Because one time I went into a youth site. I just put youth. And it was a site on family nude camps for youth, and it was weird how it infected my computer. This was about maybe 8 years ago, and how it affected my computer. It even when I called my wife and I told her, look at this, and she's more computer savvy than I am, because she's worked with computers all her life, and she went to delete it, and it actually growled at her. It had a growl sound to it. It was weird. And it just went blank. The whole computer went blank after it growled. And I said, what in the world was that? She goes, I don't know. I've never heard my computer do that. And we had some pretty nice speakers, you know, we turn them up loud. But it's an evil, evil tool, as well as a good tool, too. But I think that my preference, I can do without computers. I don't know about you guys, but, and just be simple. And we heard a lot about being simple in the church, you know, how to bring back simplicity into the church and not be so consumed with building a kingdom here on earth. You know, we know of a religion here on the mountain that they build kingdoms and their churches, and we don't want to do that. We want to get away from there. We just want to be simple. And I think we have a pretty nice facility here on the White Mountains, and I think it's just for people to come in and worship. But at the same time, we don't want to be consumed with too many building projects and consume our mind with this. Discipleship is more important than that. I think that if you disciple your people, the building projects just fall into place. And so I'm just asking you guys to keep us leaders here at church in prayer at all times, because we can get sidetracked very easily. I get sidetracked in my business daily. I mean, I'm starting with this one project in the morning. By the time you know it, I'm putting out three fires on this side. And by the end of the day, I never went back to the first project that I was working on. And I know that a lot of that is just time management on my part, not being able to control the time and not being able to just kind of adjust to each problem as it arises. And so that's the same thing we can do at church, is that we should just focus on problem number one first. And here in the youth, you guys can help me do that by praying for me, praying for Gary. And we do want to lift up Gary. We want to lift up my wife this morning also, because she got so sick. And they didn't know if it was an obstruction. They didn't know if it was an abscess. They really don't know what's causing an infection in her. So lift her up in prayer too. She's been attacked a lot. Our wives here, the youth leaders' wives have been attacked severely. Every time that we do something that we think that's really good for God, we get attacked afterwards or before camp. So just keep that in prayer. So this morning, what I want to do is open it up to sharing of what you guys got from camp and what impacted you the most and how we can bring that to the mountain also. So who wants to start? I want you guys to come up here and share, okay? Well, why don't we start with Miss CJ first. And because she was a great help over there. I mean, without her, I don't think we could have done what we did. She was awesome, so. She was a silent witness over there.
I stood around and followed people around a lot. That's about it. So this was my first camp, and everybody kept asking me, are you having a good time? And obviously, you know, yes, it's a week's vacation in California, but it's not like, as you know, the leaders, we go there not necessarily to take part in the camp, but to watch you guys. And it's more geared for you. So obviously, yes, I had a really, really good time, but it was amazing more to see the impact that it was having on your lives and your hearts, and to watch, you know, I spent more time with the girls, so to watch the group of girls go from barely knowing each other to being interchangeable, that they could jump from whatever group and pair up and be as comfortable as they were with the other person, and to hear them say that, you know, they never felt like they had established friendships, and here we are coming back and they have friendships that, you know, hopefully will transcend and come back with them and remain strong, because we are, you know, we're a youth group, but we are a family here in this building, and it was awesome to see that family kind of grow and spend time together. And, you know, obviously the worship, my heart is worship. So to hear and to see and just see the impact that it had on, you know, each of you as you took it in, and it became more than just words that were up on the board. It became something, it became that conversation between you and God, and that's really what worship should be. It's not about, you know, who's up there singing, whether they're singing in pitch, whether they're, you know, singing together, if there's drums, if there's not drums. It really comes down to being that relationship that you have with God. It comes down to being that those words that somebody else has provided to you in the form of a song becomes your conversation, and you shouldn't be singing to the person next to you. It goes, you know, straight to God. So it shouldn't matter if the person next to you is raising their hand. You're talking to God, you feel it, you raise your hand. And there's a lot of self-consciousness that comes with worship. Can they hear me? Can they, you know, if I raise my hand, are they going to think I'm stupid? It's embarrassing. And it really, all of that is Satan. He's casting doubts, and he's trying to create a barrier between you and what worship can accomplish in your heart and in your life. And I know he wasn't at the camp, but I went to a leadership conference back in March, and Daniel Fusco has a church in Seattle, and he's an amazing speaker, and the way he put worship, he was on a mission trip, and there was a gentleman at a church that they went to, and it was down in Mexico, and had a guitar, and it was just him, and he said that the guy couldn't play the guitar to save his life, was singing in broken English half the time, he couldn't understand, and he sat there, and he thought to himself, like, this is worship, what do I do to this? What do I do with this? I can't sing. He sounds horrible. He's out of pitch. And then the Holy Spirit convicted him that the guy dropped to his knees and just kept saying, praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, over and over again. And Daniel was convicted with the thought that shame on him. Shame on him for expecting perfection out of that person. Shame on him for not seeing it for what it was. And it doesn't matter whether the person standing up here is singing on pitch every time, it doesn't matter. If their heart is in worship, then that means they're leading you in worship as well. So it kind of speaks to this week, because not every worship that was up there was Isaac. Not every worship was, the expectations people have, but it was all from their hearts. And that's what we need to remember, is every time we come in here and we're worshiping, if the people up here are truly worshiping and they're feeling it in their hearts, it should be able to lead you to the same place. So I'm, you know, I was blessed to be there with you guys, and it was amazing, and I hope to be able to take part and do more stuff with you. So that's it.
I also want to just add a little bit to what CJ said. You know, I was asking some of the group, the few groups that were there that were sitting around, as how their worship was, and some of them were saying, well, we don't even have a worship group at all. We never had one. We go into big service, and then we go into youth. And some of them were like, it's awesome. And I'm like, how perfect is your worship group? How, I mean, is it really nice? And they said, man, most of the people are out of tune, but we're just loving it. And that's another thing that I heard about in camp that really touched me, was the simplicity, going back to simplicity. And I remember this camp that we went to, it was called Organic, and it was several years ago, and they talked a lot about that too, about worship. And the more you implement perfection, the more controversy you're going to get. Perfection comes with controversy. And do we want that in the house of God? No, we don't. So I want to tell you guys that Gary's not here, but if you know Gary, his voice, he's kind of doesn't have a lot of rhythm, but I was next to him and he was worshiping. I was touched by his worship, because he gave me the chills, because, I mean, he was out of tune completely. But his worship was from his heart, and that's where what really mattered to God. God doesn't care about what kind of voice you have. It's what you have in your heart that's coming out in worship. Just like CJ said, it's your voice to God. It's your worship to God. And God, you're worshiping God. You're not worshiping the man. You're worshiping to God. So, Ryan, you wanna? Come on.
That was an instant. You didn't even look around.
Okay, so I gotta just say, Kim. Do I grab this or do I just? Okay. Okay, anyway, so I just gotta say, camp's always like one of the best experiences I have. And I'm sure you already know the verse by now, but the camp verse this year was John 15, 12, and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. And this really touched me, because, you know, I'm kind of that guy, if you go somewhere, you're going to see me come back with like 50 new friends. It's like, you know, when I was out there, you know, everybody at camp, they all called me Captain America because I wore that, you know, big scratched up backpack. So, you know, you could say I had a lot of friends at camp. But just one thing that really touched me, I think it was on Tuesday night, sitting about two rows in front of me, there was a little kid, maybe 10, 11 years old. But during worship, he has both his hands lifted up, and he's crying. He's saying, Lord, I need you. I need you, Jesus. You are my God. And I'm looking at him thinking, this kid isn't even, you know, he's not even 13 years old. He's a little kid, yet he understands a relationship with Christ far better than I can. Because I was sitting there, you know, like there'd be times I'd put my arms up, you know, about yay high. But no, this kid was on his chair. He had his hands straight up, and he was crying. He was weeping. He was saying, Lord, I need you. And he just said that over and over. That touched me, because a little kid could just, he so well understood the love of Christ, and it just made me think, you know, I can't talk today. Like, that is my goals. Like, you want to have that kind of relationship where it doesn't matter who's around you, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter at all. You have that pure love for Christ. And this year at camp, it showed me really to stop caring what others think and just put myself out there for God. That's all I got.
I also brought a Bible verse with me. One of the first ones, one of the like earlier ones I heard. And before I read it, I'll just talk a little bit about what I took away from camp. Really, I went to camp with a lot of questions, and I had it even more when I, like, on the bus, I was getting more, like, thinking about just my faith and everything. Going to Germany was not easy, because most of the people there were not believers. Some went to church, but they weren't real believers. It was just a tradition. And so I had a lot of people asking me questions that I had no clue how to answer them. They'd ask me, they'd like try to test my faith, and I didn't know a lot of the answers. And that was a very big struggle for me, because I'm a person who likes to be strong in my faith through being able to respond to, like, the tests of it. I like to question a lot of the aspects of my faith just so I know that it's true. And so I had a lot of answers, or a lot of questions answered just through, I asked Gary a lot of questions. A lot of the teachings really spoke to me. Sometimes when I'm sitting in church, I'll just be listening to a lesson, and it won't really speak to me because I've already thought about it and that type of stuff. And I'm a very big believer, like, God will have someone teach a lesson for a specific person or for a specific, like, group of people. And so it's not always going to be for you, but it's going to be for like, somebody there. And I think this camp really was a lot there for me, as well as many people that were there. Maybe it wasn't, I didn't speak to a lot of people in certain areas, but almost every single lesson spoke to me. And even, like, on the workshops, I didn't go to all the workshops, but there's a couple that I went to, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go to them. Like, they said, like, oh, we're going to have this workshop, and I was like, oh, I'll think about it. And then for some reason, I just ended up going, like, even without, even if I didn't really want to, I just felt compelled to. And so I had so many answers, so many questions. I can't speak either. I'm with you, Ryan. I had so many questions answered, which was great, because now every single question that I had was answered, and I feel so much stronger in my faith. I felt that relationship with God a lot better, because I was starting to almost treat it like a religion, like just going through the motions rather than really talking to God and, like, being, like, in a relationship with God, which is really what we should go for. And the main thing that really got me was the amount of love that we saw at camp. We just saw people from all different areas, all different walks of life, all different, like, backgrounds. They came together, and they all worshiped God. They all loved God with all their heart, and they all, we all loved each other just as much. And that's the verse I wanted to read, was Matthew 22:34-40. It was the first teaching when Peter was talking about love. And it was, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And that really hit me, because even with everywhere I've been, I've been to 11 different countries, I've met thousands of people, I've had friends from all around the world, and no matter where I've gone, no matter what I've done, I have never seen a love like I saw up on that mountaintop of people coming from all over different places and just getting together, and there was no drama. There was, like, little things, of course, that's just life, but there was no, like, fights, there was no anger. It was just peaceful, joyful, everyone was happy, and everyone was having a good time, and everyone loved each other. And I've never seen that anywhere else. I see, everywhere I've gone, I've seen a lot of hate, I've seen unforgiveness, I've seen people just angry at the silliest things, and just having everyone, no matter what's happened to them, like, forgive all those around them, it really spoke to me. And so that's really what I took away from camp.
I love camp every year just because It's kind of just that getaway, that refreshment. I think that's something that I definitely struggle with a lot, is kind of treating this as a religion. Just kind of, I've always been going to church, but it really made me kind of question my personal relationship with Jesus, kind of how strong I am in my faith. And I mean, I definitely found out that my relationship is not where it should be. I have a lot to work on, I think, but it was really kind of an eye-opener. A lot of the teachings, I'm going off to college here in a couple months, and that's going to be a huge struggle, but I think, a lot of the teachings really kind of helped me kind of dive deeper into my faith. I think I'm going to have, I have a lot better relationship with God now, which will kind of help me once I move, just to stay stronger. I loved all the new friendships, and also just strengthening old friendships with fellow believers, and it was just an amazing kind of getaway and refreshment.
Okay, so camp for me every year is fun as well. But the thing that hit me the most about this camp was, I think it was on Tuesday morning, he was talking about commitment, how he said one couple could live together for 5 years, they could live together, but once they get married, that's where it gets hard, because the commitment is like, it's more than what you, think it would be. So I think that's how a lot of people will look at their relationship with God. They might say, yeah, I go to church, I'm a Christian, but are you like a committed Christian? That's what struck me the most, because you could be going through all the motions, doing all the right things, but you're still not being committed to Jesus. And that's what's also hard for me, because you have all these things distracting you. The devil's just going to distract you from everything. And it's just hard to stay committed. So that's what I took from it. It's just a commitment that we need to get to in order to be strong through Christ.
Okay. One of the big takeaways that I kind of took from camp was when they were talking, like I think maybe Thursday, when they were talking about how, there are people who say you could be a Christian and not be involved with the church, stuff like that. And, yeah, I'm a Christian, I just don't like going to church. Or, yeah, I read my Bible, but I don't involve myself with fellow believers. And I think that kind of just hit me, because it's important to have people that you could, that when the devil does tempt you and when you do fall into sin, that you have people to fall back on and to remind you of God's promises, and to remind you that God still loves you, and to keep you, on a straight path. Because without that, there's no really, you're not really Christ-like. Christ had those 12 people that relied on each other, and they were, they were the church, and they, I don't know, it's just like, you can't be Christian unless we're Christ-like, because that's what Christian is. And when we need people, we need to have, Bible studies and Christian friends that we could really go to and say, and go to with confidence and trust that they'll be there for us, and we could be there for them. I was going to say something else. It was important. It was really important. It was like the, okay. But yeah, just basically like, it's gone again. Just like, I don't know, like, Oh, okay, here it is. Oh, shoot. It went away again. Okay, we got to have... Okay, so in today's culture, and especially in American Christianity, there's just a bunch of, like, you know, yeah, you know, this is a sin, that's a sin, but we shouldn't really remind each other that because it's offensive, or it's you know, you're kind of being just like a buzzkill. They're Christian, they, you know, they go to church, it's whatever, they can, you know, let them deal with their own sin, don't tell them what they're doing wrong, or don't be there for them and as a person that kind of holds them accountable. And we're afraid to do that because of that culture. We're afraid to kind of, like, you know, hold our close friends accountable because of what culture says. But we need to find friendships that make it clear, you know, hey, if I slip up, please tell me, and please hold me accountable so I can stay firm in my walk with God. And that's why it's so important to have friends within the church. And because when we go out there, it's completely different, you know. Everything's just, let them live their life, let them do what makes them happy. But if God wanted us to be happy, he wouldn't care about all of our sin. He could care less if we're happy. He wants him, we find happiness through him, not through all everything else, you know. And so when people are like, just let them be happy, do what makes you happy, we got to do what makes God happy, and that will in turn make us happy. Holding each other accountable and finding friends that where we could hold each other accountable and talk about our questions about God, it really, that's what makes us Christian, not just going through emotions. So that's what I thought.
Well, church camp's always really fun. It's always good. Both years that we've gone, I've enjoyed it very much. But this year, there was a question that was asked in one of the teachings, and it was, what would you rate your relationship with God? And so it kind of made me think about my relationship with God, because you think about, you know, your true friends and how much time you spend with them. You know, you're always talking to them, always hanging out. And, you know, it makes you think, well, I don't do that. To be honest, I don't do that with God, you know, spending time in his word, praying and stuff like that. So that really opened my eyes to that, you know, to have, because God's the only friend that we really need. So I feel like it's important to be in his word and prayer and stuff like that. So that was something that really opened my eyes, and it just makes you also think about going through the motions, you know, just taking Christianity as a religion, just going to church and, you know, what everybody else has said. But yeah, that's why I took mostly out of this church camp.
Okay. So, like everyone else, you know, I would also take church just as a religion when I was younger. And I remember this one time when I finally was in, like, the youth with the big kids, our pastor said to not really, don't, like, worship because everyone else is, don't raise your hand because everyone else is, to pay attention to the words and sink in what the words are saying. And it was 2 years ago at my cousin's church, where that really happened to me, and I just fell to my knees. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why I wanted to be on the worship team, is because that was the first real connection I had with God. And I also felt that during camp, and I really loved that, so that's what I got.
So I really had fun at camp like everybody else did, and I definitely felt the Spirit of the Lord moving during worship and stuff. And I just want to say, like, some of the things that, like, while the pastors were preaching, like, that really stuck out to me is, like, everybody should be able to hear this. And one is, like, confessing to fellow believers, because you might not be, and you should confess to them. And then there's also the verse that says, we don't have a high priest that doesn't sympathize with our weaknesses. And Jesus has also felt that too. So not only confess to the Lord, but don't forget to confess to your friends, because they can help hold you accountable. And then another thing, in like relationships, if you're like looking to date somebody or looking to marry somebody, is, are you looking for like that close friend or like that boyfriend or girlfriend so that you can have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or so that you can love them? Like, are you looking for somebody to love you, or are you looking to love somebody? And I think a lot of people are just looking for somebody to love them. And then another thing was, don't try to like, when Peter was talking about homosexuality in that workshop, it was really good. And one of the things was, it was basically all about talking to Christians who were in sin and not pushing our morals on people who aren't Christians. So if we like go up to somebody who is sinning or something and we say, you know, you shouldn't do that, that's not okay, because they don't have our morals in like our Bible. So if, even if they do stop, it's gonna be harder for them because they don't have God to help them get through that sin, and we're actually making it worse for them. And then the thing that I thought was really good was, Peter said, look at life as a trailer and not like a movie. So when you watch a trailer, you're not looking at the trailer as if it's gonna be this great, amazing thing. The reason it's good is because you're looking to what's ahead of it. And that's kind of like what Earth is. Don't look at it like it's this great movie. You have to look at heaven as the movie, and Earth is like the trailer of what the great things are to come. So don't be disappointed with it. Okay. So camp was definitely really awesome, because the whole time you're surrounded by all these Christians, and so it's really easy to be strong when you're surrounded by all of them. So one really good thing that Peter said on the first morning was, he said, he talked about Romans 5:8. It's, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it's crazy. He's like the perfect example of love. And without knowing that, I think we're always going to be like searching, because it seems like we always try to fill ourselves with like love or friendships, whatever, but like, I don't think you'll ever have really like full confidence or like just being full without God, because only God can fill you. That's all.
All right, well, what I got out of the summer camp was that, I think it was the first pastor when he taught about like there's different types of loves and stuff, how he said like, you know, you have a certain love for your parents, and like you shouldn't love God as much as you love your parents. And another thing, like you should love God more than your parents, pretty much. And another thing that stuck out to me is that when he said, like, with your problems, don't try dealing like with your problems by yourself. I go to Jesus first to deal with your problems. And that's what stuck out for me the most.
Okay, so I've gone to camp like since I was like 2 years old, and I've never really gotten impacted because, you know, I was like really young. And this year was like the first year I really got impacted, and it was mostly because the worship, like, just felt like God was talking directly to me. And last year that happened, but I didn't really take it with me back here, and I like lost and got into sin and stuff, so I don't want to do that again.
This was my first year at camp, and it really changed me. It was so incredible. And the most thing that got me was like churches bringing like earth thing, like bad things into the church, like, you know. Like breaks during church, and you know, they can sit, you know, they bring bad things into church, and we should be like just worshiping God, and not all these other things.
Thanks, guys, for sharing. It was awesome to hear you guys share. And, huh? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's okay. Doesn't matter. Guys, three of you guys could come forward, and then that way we can.
So the things I got from camp mostly were the Peter's teaching, where there are like the three type of people: the people that were Christian, fell out of Christianity, and then came back; the people that haven't ever been into Christianity and then came to Christianity; and then the Christians that kind of just stayed Christian but are now just going through motions and not living with God, but working for God. And so, like, to me, that kind of hit a little bit harder, because I have had those thoughts before. Like, growing up, I was almost always here with both parents in ministry over there. We'd be here early, and then eventually being in the youth ministry myself. Sometimes I'd be like, am I really doing it because of my relationship with God, or because I feel obligated to do it? And so, like, that kind of hit a little bit harder than the rest of the teachings, because I know that sometimes it has been, oh, I feel obligated to go and do it, so I'll go and do it. And then the whole misconception of love that society has nowadays, and how some people are looking for a specific set of thing that sets them into a deadly spiral of relationship after relationship, because those things end up failing. The things they look for end up stopping in one relationship to another. And it's better to have a full understanding of love than some being higher and some being lower, because it'll set you into a bad part of that. So, yeah.
Pretty much what I got from camp was that I learned a lot about, like, a lot of other people and what they believed and how they thought of certain things, which really kind of set, like, kind of taught me how everyone's different and that no one will be the same. And I forgot the verse, but I had notes.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna ask a question. Who all is shy? Okay. So I can, like, I know that Nick is, and probably a lot of people, and all you are. So I can relate to that, and not as much as like some other people, but one day when the store was open, I got a ring that says strength on it, and I've always been interested in the word strength. And the night when I was looking at it, inside of it, it says Phil 4:13. So I think that. So I'm just going to read that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I heard that, I was thinking, it takes a lot of strength to try to find friends if you're shy. It, like, you'd feel like you can't do it, and then when I was thinking about it, like, the random courage that you could get, it, that you feel like it could come out of nowhere, but, like, it's God strengthening you to make new friends, to share with your new friends. And that's basically what I got from it.
So, like, I was also thinking about on the lines of what Dylan had said about, you know, everybody's different and you meet different friends. And one thing that I'm so blessed with is that you guys reach out to other churches and stuff like that. And I asked a couple of girls that were hanging out with you guys, why do you guys, you know, how come you guys aren't, like, you know, hanging out with too many of your group and stuff like that? And they said, well, we wish that our church group was like your guys' group. And so obviously you guys impacted a lot of kids because they think that our church group, but you know, that's not necessarily the truth, you know. It's just that it always looks greener on the other side. And so when somebody says, well, I really like the way, you know, you guys have your youth group or whatever, and I'm sure you guys are thinking, man, that youth group is awesome. And so it's always like, I get that every year, is that people are looking at you guys' hearts more than anything, I think. And so I'm hoping that they do. I hope it's not just like, you know, just the worship or anything like that, because we have an appearance sometimes and it's fake. But, you know, we should all have an appearance of Christ-like. And so I was like, well, you have such a great youth group, you know, and it's like, it's not all that, you know. So I just want to reiterate to you guys that it's not always good on the other side, you know. It's not what you think it is sometimes. Sometimes they have their own struggles. We have our struggles. And boy, do we have struggles. And so, like me, for the last year and a half, I've been struggling with juggling my work and church things going on here. And you know, just the, you know, church meetings that we have and how we're trying to, you know, like, get things in order and stuff like that. Sometimes we lose the real meaning of what we should really be doing, and that I struggle with that. And so I'm blessed by, you know, some of the kids that came up and was just like asking questions and what about this and what about that. And we baptized a girl that was from another church, and I go, well, don't you want to be baptized by your pastor? They go, no, I want to be baptized right here with you and Gary. And so, you know, if each one of you knew, like that pastor said on Tuesday, if you knew what was in my closet, you wouldn't like me, or my wife would not like me anymore. Do you remember that? And so don't ever put your eyes on just me or Gary, you know, because I personally am a failure, you know, from the word go, you know. It's just like I have my failures, and I have things that if I told you what I had, you probably wouldn't like me either, you know. But what we have to do is persevere and do the best we can, because we're all sinners. And so, you know, when we go out of this room today, I want you guys to remember that to pray for Gary and I. You know, I appreciate your prayer for Gary and I this morning, Ryan, because we need it so much, because we're human just like you guys. And sometimes you guys think that you're struggling, but you know what? We're struggling too. And so just want to do that with you. Also, I want to remind you guys that we're having a party at Snowflake Taylor this afternoon. We had it at our house last year, so Snowflake Calvary Chapel wants to host a party for us, and I think it's going to be awesome. So let me know who needs a ride out there or who's going out there. Okay, so who's going? Raise up your hands. Oh yeah, bring your friends, because those people are awesome too, you know. I mean, Calvary Snowflake has always been loving to us, and they open their hearts wide open to us. The pastor always is really accommodating. The pastor's wife was there. I don't know if you guys know who she is, but she came in like the third day, And she's always like so loving to us and always praying for us. And so they're going to be there, and then their leaders are going to be there. And, you know, I think we should be united with each other, you know, more than divided. I mean, we don't all, every individual doesn't think the same way. We should all believe the same way, but we don't all think the same way. And sometimes the thinking gets in the way of believing. And so that's what's, I think, our greatest downfall is that. So, but let's end in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for those that are going to the party tonight. I think we'll be really blessed and around a bonfire. And so, we just ask that the kids here bring their friends, and they just, we make this a special time tonight, Lord. And so, Father, safe travels up to Snowflake tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.